stopped.
Was that a vacuum cleaner?
I don't know.
Well, we're back.
I pitched
feedback. Yeah, it was like a...
Well,
that's weird.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah.
Another it's great been start. A while.
Episode 53.
Episode 53. Sometimes back to the usual. High-end, low-end, a little low-end. More common stuff. You know, I got a interesting one. You got a surprise? I have no idea what you got.
Yeah.
Is it low end? Is it really low end?
Yeah, it's low end.
Cool.
I'll let you determine the price. trying to see how I could put this. So I've been kind of bunking stuff here at Dylan's place because I've been overcrowded. And of course I have let my low-end products stay here. Mm-hmm. Not so much my mid to high. I don't know. This whiskey, some people may view it higher. Start
keeping your high-end stuff here.
Yeah. Now Creek 18, Lodge Creek. Yeah. All the good stuff. I don't know. Okay. The story about this whiskey, when I was diving deep, I heard good things about this distillery, and it might have been a mind thing. Just because it wasn't distributed here at the time, I thought, hey, I gotta get my hands on this. Mm-hmm. So when I saw it in Illinois, I had to grab it, especially for the price. So the whiskey that I'm talking about, which just last month they started to show up here in Wisconsin. So Chattanooga whiskey, the Cashrinth. So small pours of this, and you probably want to add some water.
This is a Tennessee whiskey?
Yes, but you might appreciate this one, Dill, because they use malt.
Okay, cask strength, 111 proof.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to give you the details in a minute. You see how much I liked it?
I have
not
drank one, basically.
I might change my tune on this one. I don't know.
Age. So, age greater than 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
Could be 25.
Yeah. I think it's probably 2 year and some months with this whiskey. Actually, they call this a straight bourbon. Even though it has that malt in it. So, Chattanooga Whiskey Company out of Tennessee. Out of Tennessee. The mash bill is 75% yellow corn, 25% malted rye, caramel malted barley, and honey malted barley. But it says exact percentages not disclosed for the caramel malted barley and the honey malted barley. So, now here's a story about this one. They have, so the Cash Strength one everyone likes because they have a 91 proofer that everyone says that is not horrible, but not their jam. Now hopefully this will change my tune, and Dylan's looking at the bottle as the facts. Like the cooperage is back there.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the fermentation.
Interesting things.
This
is the first time I've ever heard of this word. Fermentation. It says attemperated.
Attemperated?
Attemperated.
What does attemperated mean?
I have no idea. And
hey, Siri. What does attemperated mean? Temperate climate? No.
Attemperated. 7 days. Fermentation. Maybe it's like a fermentation term. You know, like from the beginning to the end. Anyway, here's another interesting thing on this. It says filtration, none. Bottle occasionally captures barrel sediment. And I can spin this around a little bit, and I saw a little piece floating in there. There's a little piece of something in there.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of cool because, you know, they're like proud of the fact that they're not chill filtering or, you know, taking anything away from it. That's for sure.
Now, when I had this bottle first taste, which was a while ago, this bottle is probably about 2 years old. And I just never revisited it because, I don't know, it, for some reason, when I first tasted it, it didn't remind me of, like, scotch malt. I don't know. But since we have started this podcast, I have been more familiar with malts. So I might change my tune tonight about Chattanooga.
Okay.
Why is that so hard to say? Chattanooga. Cash strength.
Is it anything like... Well, let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Shall we?
We should have poured it while we were talking about it so it could air out a little bit.
Oh, that's right. It's cast strength, so... Take it slow.
Any fans out there that listen to this podcast that love Chattanooga? Now, I tell you this. Now, they do some finishes, too. Like a port. They do some crazy stuff. Actually, they did a limoncello type of thing for Syllabox, and it sold out quick. So they do like liqueurs really well, from what I hear.
What was the proof, do you know, of that limoncello?
Man, I can't remember.
Now, I wonder if a company like this would make a high-proof one, just because...
No, you know, it was on the low-proof side. Yeah, it was regular. It was probably like 70 or something. Now, first impression on the nose. I'm liking the nose. And I remember the first time I had this, I did not like the nose.
Okay, I did not smell any oak at first.
Yeah.
Right away. But now I do.
Yeah.
It's coming in. It's kind of like a fruity... Like, so, I get what you're saying about the scotch. Like the big and round.
Yeah. Fruity.
Yeah.
Sherry. It's like... if you open up a fresh pack of Juicy Fruit gum, get a little bit of banana in there, but
yeah, some dark fruits.
You know, the crazy thing is, what if this will be a sleeper for me? Like, man, I was wrong about this whiskey, because the more I smell it, I mean, at 111 proof, it's not burning your nostrils or anything like that.
It has some characteristics of other ones that you've really liked.
Yeah.
That Brown-Forman stuff. High-proof Brown-Forman.
It kind of does smell like that.
It's just it's not so sweet. It's not so much of the cherry, you know?
Huh.
Whoa. Wow. That's big.
I was wrong.
That's big, man.
I was completely wrong.
Wow. This hits the spot. I don't... I'm still going to add a little water, but...
Why did
I... For 111 proof, it is...
I wonder why I did not light this at first. In. What changed in 2 years?
Yeah, oxygen.
Because it hasn't been open for a while.
Yeah.
But it was above shoulder length.
Yeah.
So I had that first pour, and I'm like, man, I was like, why are people hyping this up?
Yeah. This is why. Let it sit and let it get some air for a year or two.
This is completely different. Now, do you taste any malt?
It does have a characteristic of malt.
I mean,
but it's so high proof that
it's high, you don't
typically
malt,
have a malt at this proof.
Now, after tasting it, I really don't get that juicy fruit character anymore from the nose. I'm getting more like, I hate to say it, I mean, they call this a straight bourbon, but I'm getting like Kentucky vibes, brown sugar, vanilla. Nutmeg. on the nose. Full body. Yeah, full body.
This is like...
Almost like you said, I mean, it's not Brown Foreman, but, you know, the characteristics are about the same, and which is weird for a high malt product because, you know, Brown Foreman products, they usually don't use malt unless you get into those special releases from Jack Daniels.
You know what I found with your other high proof stuff, similar to this, but, you know.
This is not hot.
I found that I had, once I added water, it always improved.
Yeah.
Like, the development, I could get more out of it.
Uh-huh.
I noticed more things. I tasted more.
Exactly.
But this doesn't feel or seem at all like it's missing, like, it's like, oh, I need to add water because I can't.
That might have been the airtime, like you said.
It's not there yet.
Could have been the airtime, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, usually, to your point, when you have something cash strength, especially the bottles I bring, or even some of the high cash strength products for scotch that you bring, you're like, oh, man, this got some heat to it. This right here really doesn't. It's like...
No.
Well balanced.
I just added a full teaspoon.
I want to do the same.
Yeah, the heat, there was a yeah. little, but it took a back seat to the flavor. I mean, it was like full flavor.
Yeah, cash strength. Sometimes it could be hot,
right?
But still good. But the flavors are kind of masked at that point because of the heat. Like, you're not picking up any thing that reminds you of something like vanilla or something like that. Usually you're like, okay, it's sweet, but I can't feel anything on my tongue because it's like high octane.
Mm-hmm.
With this right here,
and the flavor is just completely not even there sometimes.
I'm liking the finish. It's still
in those high proof.
It's a medium finish as well.
Yeah, now this, man, they got the proof right.
I'm sorry, Chattanooga. I was wrong. This,
it's respectable.
Yeah.
Very respectable.
Dylan couldn't say it better.
Made in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Okay.
And for this to be 2 years, it's crazy because we're used to reviewing 2 year products in Texas. Right. The climate in Tennessee is nowhere close to Texas. So, I don't know if they source stuff or if this is their own distillate. I don't know.
Now that cherry is coming out.
Oh, after water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost smelling like a Buffalo Trace product.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Wow. I thought this was going to be a huge disappointment.
Huh. Yeah. Well, all right. Now I need to know the price. Don't tell me. Cask strength 2 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, there's a lot of similar things out there in the $50 to $60 range.
Yeah.
You know, we just covered one. Still Austin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but you think this is a low end, and you're like, you're going to be surprised about the price. You said something like that anyway. So I'm gonna say this is like $39.
Close.
$49.
Close. Minus $4.
$39 is minus $4?
No, $49 minus
okay,
$4.
Okay, okay. Wow.
Yeah, $45.
Okay.
Under 50. I don't know if that's what I got it
that's
for.
That's a great price.
I don't know how much it is now, but...
Yeah, well...
I'm assuming.
I'm sure it's more. Add $10 to that, probably.
Wow.
All right. That's a low end, I would say, because of what it is. Where...
Yeah, a lot of people...
of the competition is 50 to 60.
If you're the typical bourbon person and you don't know anything about Chattanooga at all, like, the only reason I knew about this because of whiskey content creators reviewing it. That's the only reason. But if this gets by you and you happen to go in a liquor store and you see, cash drinks, 111 for under 50, and then you turn over that label and you see 2 years or greater.
Yeah.
Malt. You're like, nope, not buying it.
And don't forget about the attemperated.
Yeah, and attemperated. You're like, yeah, I'm not taking a chance on this.
Use it in a sentence.
Well, first, I am attemperated that I did not drink this bottle sooner after it opened up. Does that make sense? But I do owe Chattanooga an apology. I was completely wrong. I should have never judged them by first or fresh cork pop. And I always preach that on this podcast. And I did it. I did it.
Yeah. Well, are you making up for it?
Yeah, I made up for it. Wow. This was I shouldn't say surprisingly great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is great. It's my fault.
What was it like when you first tasted it?
It was like very malty and like, I don't know, not rough. Yeah, it was just different.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I could have been drinking something else and then went to this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, this ain't it.
We talk about this all the time, you know? It's like, put the bottle away, come back to it. Put it away, come back to it. Sometimes it changes 100%.
Yes.
It attemperates, you know, over time.
Some of these whiskey bottles are like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's the nice thing about how we're doing this, is we get to have this perspective versus like a cork pop every time.
It would have been better if we did a first cork pop of this. To see what I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And we both would have been on the same page, and then 6 months down the road or a year, we'd reviewed it again. And been like, okay, we were wrong about this. That's why I'm kind of glad that I explained that, other than just saying, hey, this is my low end. But I knew I felt some type of way about it. That's why I never revisited it. I was not happy about it when I first got it. And that's on me. Judging by fresh cork pop. Sorry, Chattanooga.
It's a real sipper.
Yeah, this is a great whiskey. Mm. I like this, especially for the price. I'm thinking that 2 years has to be like 2 years and some months. But I just want to know their process. Because of...
What is 111 proof?
The...
55.5%.
The Tennessee climate. That's what I want to know.
Well, they're known for whiskey.
Yeah.
You know?
And they have a pork cask. They do other stuff that people appreciate that I can't get my hands on, but...
Mm-hmm.
So...
I would almost think that this was finished... Because it is so big and round.
Mm-hmm. So, rating. Cash strength.
I've been thinking of a couple of numbers.
Unique. Affordable.
Now, you can't get it here?
You can now.
You can now.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to say this is a... Easy. I don't even... No question about it. 86.
Yeah. I was going to go 85.5, but I'm going to round it up and say 86.
86, man. This is great.
Yeah, this is great.
There's so many great whiskeys in the 86 range. You know, it's like tons of scotches are in that range, and they're great. I added that teaspoon of water, and it is still big, full-flavored, big and round.
Don't lose anything.
No.
Mm-mm. So good.
Are they brand new? Is that why they only produce something
that's 2 years old? Now I'm going to have to look that up. I got to look that up. I know they've been around when I heard about them. I know it was pre-COVID for sure when I heard about them. I don't know how long they've been around. So,
let's see if I can drown it.
Yeah, so if you see this around your area. Now, here's another thing. Is the 91 proof offering they offer that bad? Or did people not give it a chance? Who knows?
You only had this one.
Yeah, I only had this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't had the port cask or... They had a bottle and bond product that everyone raved about. I think that was probably 2 years ago or maybe last year. Either last year or 2 years ago. They have this bottled and bond product that everyone raves about. Mm-hmm. That is usually on people's whiskey of the year. Like a solid 100 proof. People love it.
I wonder if they do a single barrel. That'd be awesome.
Well, they probably do.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a winner, man.
A 86 for me and Dill. Well,
you know what my other number was? I was thinking was 88.
Yeah, it was your
number. I was just like, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, now let me think about this a second here. Yeah, that delivered. Sometimes these high proof, it's just a high proof and that's it. They don't deliver the flavor.
Yeah, it's
flavor.
Just hot.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're, which is not bad sometimes, depending on what you're paying for. But yeah, most of the time you feel like you just put a bunch of hot Ike Mikes in your mouth. Cinnamon, right. cinnamon, and spice. And heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the development of this one was just...
Yeah. This wasn't that. Yeah. It was full body flavor, medium finish. Yeah, a nice, well-rounded whiskey mm-hmm. for the price. And I appreciate them. And, man, you're talking about flavor coming from a 2-year-old whiskey. That's crazy to me.
It's not over the top like Brown-Forman either. It's just subtly like Brown-Forman with that... cherry.
I don't know if they go through the
sweet.
See, I should have looked that up. That's my fault. I wonder if they go through that whole charcoal process.
Filtration.
I didn't look that up. I'm not sure. Huh.
I like how they have all that information on the label.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Real clear.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with them. And I really like the filtration thing.
All right. Let me. So that's Chattanooga whiskey.
Rinse my glass.
That I was wrong about.
With a little bit of water. Don't you like those surprises?
That's probably the best part of this podcast is being wrong about something.
Yeah. How much whiskey can change in, you know, a year or whatever.
Because when I brought that bottle out, I was like, man, this is going to be a disappointment.
All right, up next. This is my high end now.
I seen that, and I was going to send you a picture of it a couple weeks ago. And yeah. I was like, Dylan Pryor even already knows about this.
Of course I have to buy it.
Yeah.
It's my job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Campbelltown Lock. This is a blend by Springbank.
Hence, that's why Dylan said that it's his job, because we're sponsored by Springbank. This podcast comes to you by...
You know what? Everybody's sponsored by Springbank. Nobody talks bad about Springbank.
Springbank is the... Man, I tell you. If you want to talk about hard to find and elite scotches...
Yeah.
They're probably in the same tier as Pappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the bourbon world.
Yep. A endgame malt. For sure. Now, I was gonna, like we talked about earlier, I'm like, is this a high-end, is this a low-end? It's $60.
Okay? And this is a blend.
I think it was like $59.99. Something like that. It's a blend.
Are you talking about that port?
If you're gonna buy a Springbank, You're never going to pay this cheap for a spring bank.
Nope.
Unless, you know, some odd coincidence that somebody's selling a bottle, but not on the shelves, not in the store. However, it is a blend. So it could be said that this could, I could make a case for that this is a low-end scotch.
For spring bank.
For spring bank.
Yeah. Nice and affordable.
It's affordable. Oh, gosh. You smell it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man.
Oh. This is just, it's got spring bank
now,
DNA running through
it. I might have to get a bottle of this tomorrow.
Yeah, $60. This is why I had to have it. I'm like, I like spring bank so much that, but I only have two bottles and I don't really want to go through it fast.
Yeah, because the two bottles that you, well, two I bottles of this? Last,
no, I have two bottles of regular spring bank 15.
Oh, yeah, 15 and 18. Yeah.
And I want them to last a long, long time. I don't want to, but this I can just
yeah,
sip you, on,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and get close enough.
Yeah, yep. It's nice that Spring Bank did offer this because usually everything they have, like even the 10-year, you can spend over $100 on that. If you, sometimes you could probably find it for $89.99, $90, and that's a steal for the 10-year. And then you weren't too high on the 12, right? Even if you saw it at a good price. I think I saw it for $90 one day, the 12.
Yeah, the 15 is where it changed my mind. To like, okay, I get what people are talking about. Once I went to a 15. I liked the younger Spring Bank, but I wasn't like, oh my word, this is so good.
You know? What's the details on this? What did they blend it with?
Okay, so this is kind of interesting. This blended malt scotch whiskey has been created solely from Campbelltown's 5 distinctive single malts.
Oh, man, this nose is great.
So it's like, you know how the Beastie Boys wrote a love letter to New York? You know that song?
No.
No.
Okay. Wait, love letter to New York? Yeah, that's the name of the song?
I don't know what the name of that song is.
Maybe
they talk about the five boroughs. Maybe it's
called the five Bronx, boroughs. Brooklyn, and whatever it
is. Staten. Yeah. Anyway, this is like Springbank's version of that, like a love letter to Campbelltown, because it took
boy, we're coming at you to Campbelltown, boy. Five blends up in here, boy.
Yeah, it's the five boroughs. It's the five. It's the five.
Distinctive
single malts. Oh. Now, this is interesting. I looked something up. I'm like, okay, where are these? Who are these distilleries they're talking about? They don't say which distilleries. They just say five for the most. Of course, it's Glen Scotia. It's Glengoyne, Springbank. It's maybe Hazelburn. Maybe.
Confirm this region again?
Campbelltown.
Thank you. Not Iowa. No. I always get confused with Spring Bank because when I smell peat, I think of Isla, and then Campbelltown also does that as well.
Let me go back to the map real quick. So we got Isla, right? And then this peninsula here called Kintyre, right? That peninsula, right in that little bay, is Campbelltown. Campbelltown used to have more than 30 distilleries in it.
At
one time. Can you believe that?
So, it's decreased to what?
It's decreased, and...
What, is it only five?
There are three distilleries that you could call, you know, distilleries that people would say, yeah, that's a distillery. Gotcha. And then there are three up-and-coming small micro-distilleries in Campbelltown. So the three main distilleries in Campbelltown are Glen Scotia, Glen Guile, and Springbank. Those three distilleries. But there's these three up-and-coming, small. I saw pictures of their stills. It's like,
so
it's basically like what we saw at Eagle Park when we toured. And they said, this is our little test area. You know, like how they make like 100 gallons of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Macrihanish Distillery. Macrihanish.
Macrihanish.
Huh. Is one, new one. Dal Riata Distillery is another. And Witchburn Distillery are the three up and coming. So it could be they took some from those small, but I doubt it. I really doubt it because they probably don't make it.
Does it talk about the ages? Is it really that transparent?
Doesn't talk about the ages, no. So it just says taken from the five distinctive single malts.
Can't be that.
100% Campbelltown whiskeys.
I'm thinking that most of these got to be, if they're taking it from other distilleries, not just their own distillery. Usually in the Scotch world, you could get some cheap 10 to 14 year old type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
I can't see them putting anything like a 5 or 6 or something in there.
Yeah, it's hard to say because I've had 8 years old scotches that
has someone drink reviewed like this?
15 year.
Ralphie?
Yeah, the two guys that are on YouTube.
Oh, the Whiskey Vault?
Vault guys, yeah.
Yeah, they
reviewed it. Some other, I saw some, but so a couple of YouTube videos of it. I didn't watch them, actually.
So, Campbelltown, I'm assuming that's Lock? Lock? Loach?
Lock?
Lock. Lock?
Campbelltown Lock, which my map also shows the locks, and I couldn't find Campbelltown Lock on the map, so I don't know if it's like a, it's a real thing or what.
Huh.
But anyway, on Kintyre, I couldn't find, on this map, a lock called Campbelltown Lock.
Interesting. Yeah, I love Springbank, man.
Oh, yeah.
I need to revisit.
They're unique. They have a very unique...
Oh, best...
character.
Best peat whiskey out there. By far.
Unless you're looking for a specific...
Ashley.
Isla type of, you know...
Brook Lottie. When they do the Ottomore.
I've never had that. Have you had
it? Yeah, I have one.
Oh.
I need to bring it over. Phenomenal. It's great. Yeah. And it's cast strength, too.
Oh, nice.
Man, this nose. I can't get over it.
Mm-hmm. You know that video you shared with me? About that guy who is a serious collector.
Man, he is... I knew about this guy a long time ago, but he doesn't do anything as far as videos. Mm-hmm. But the other guy that's interviewing him,
mm-hmm.
he's a... I follow content him, Mash and Drum. Yeah, I follow him a lot. And then as soon as he showed the place where he's at, I was like, oh, that's that old guy that... Well, he's not really not that old. I think he just turned 60.
What he said about when you finish it, you can just sit and smell the glass for a half hour.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
On those good
Springbanks. Especially the stuff he has. I mean, when you're a guy that... had your own barrel.
Yeah, of Springbank. 25.9 years.
If I got this right, he wanted to wait for it to get to 30?
He was gonna. That was his plan, and but then, he got scared that,
yeah,
it would,
that he
go
wasn't gonna get it.
Something.
Yeah. But he got it at 25. That's an expensive barrel.
That is so great.
And I can all imagine how that last pour was. Which that part two is going to come out, so make sure you check out the Mash and Drum.
Yeah. What a great video. I just like his whole approach. You know, like, he was into red wine, and he's like, I need to find some. He had some allergic reaction.
Yeah, some type of health problem.
Couldn't drink red wine. Had to find something that could compete with the complexity and richness of red wines.
So he turned to Scotch.
Scotch has it.
And then it took him a while to get into peat when he started.
Yeah.
And then once he, I think he said Springbank was probably one of the first ones that he had as far as peat, and then he just went Springbank crazy.
And you know what that video made me reconsider? Is Macallan and...
Yeah, he loves them too.
What's the other one? Glenmorangie.
Mm-hmm.
Those two he loves. Of course, they're...
The high end,
real high end ones,
especially the Glenmorangies.
But that I'm gonna start looking into Macallan and Glenmorangie a little more.
Macallan, I have a Macallan.
I need to know about Macallan. I actually have never bought in a bottle.
I tell you, one of the things that got me into Scotch, my father-in-law, as you know, Mike, the sherry cask Glenmorangie. Oh my goodness, that was so good. And I think you can still get that to this day for cheap. For very cheap. I mean, I still like the, what is it called, the Ruben cask? Or Ruben cask? Mm-hmm. The 14-year Glenmorangie? That's up there. That is up there. And
yeah.
I think they had something on that show.
Yeah.
Some type of, but it was a, it was a different one.
It was a finished in something.
That you 12-year. Yeah. That he just, got first, but yep. He said it's going to be hitting stores soon or something like that.
I got to look into it. It's worth checking. It's my job.
Yeah, it's your job.
So,
actually, this show, this podcast is sponsored by Glenmorangie. Joking.
Commercial.
I wish.
Commercial's coming.
But yeah, Springbank, you can't go wrong with. This right here, this blend, is phenomenal, especially when you could get it for sissy bucks. Because if you're a Scotch person and you want to get in Springbank, it's kind of hard to pay for them.
Right. This is a great,
I don't think you will ever get
introduction
a chance
to Springbank.
Yeah. I don't think you will ever get a chance to have Springbank if you don't see this. Because if you are a Scotch person and your budget is not the greatest,
well,
you don't want to be like, okay, I see the 10-year for over 100.
Yeah, exactly.
I see the 15 close to 2.
And you look,
and
right
then I see the 18 close to 4. Yeah, I probably won't have Springbank.
Right. And you're looking at the shelf going, all right, that's $110. You look up one shelf and it's the same peated 10-year, mm-hmm. and it's $42. You're like, what is the deal?
Especially when you're in the Lagavulin, Laphroaigs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Ardbeg.
Ardbeg 10.
Yeah. It's going to be hard for you to...
peated Scotch out there.
Because even if you hear phenomenal things about Springbank, you're like, dang, man, do I want to spend this money? Fortunately for us, we both got good deals on that 18.
Yeah. Real prices. Not totally inflated.
Man, I've seen so many bourbon hunts, and the people that are not well-versed in Scotch, the people that are, like, bourbon hunting will mm-hmm. come across the 18, and they were like, yeah, I know you Scotch people out there, you guys are in the comments talking about how I pass this up all the time when they, like, show the price of the 18.
Wish they could see that
it's
in
like,
the stores.
Yeah. It's like $500 or ooh. Something like that for the 18.
Oh, no, no, no. That's ridiculous.
Like, when I got it, and I saw that price, I was like, I'm getting one. And then I was under the impression that you had one. But when I told you you had it, you were like, what? For how much? And I told you, and I was like, all right, let's go back. And when I met you there, and they didn't have it.
That's
and then
right.
2 weeks later,
bam,
I go back for something else, and then it's there. And then my wife is calling Dylan, and then his wife, and then we finally got a hold of you guys, and you're like, get it. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you're not going to be able to pass up this price.
It's worth every drop. Every penny. Mm-hmm. It's just so good.
Well, so, what for 60 think? Bucks.
Yeah. 60 bucks.
And I'm a fan of Springbank. You turned me into a fan of them. Like I said, to this day, the 15-year that we reviewed on this podcast has been my favorite whiskey that we have reviewed. And then what comes
the
close
15?
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
It was
crazy
awesome.
Good.
Yeah,
60 bucks for a Springbank, and it's a blend. And I know it's not young whiskey in here. It's gotta it's gotta be at least 10 to 14-ish in the blend. I can't see Springbank putting in some 6s or 7s. I just don't see that happening, especially in the Scotch world. 10 is the 5-year for Scotch. And then 14 is like the 6 or 7 or 8 for Scotch, like here, when you do blends. So it has to be 10 to 14. in my opinion, especially if you're doing this with other distilleries that are probably not. You said they are open or not open?
Up and coming. I don't up know and what coming. That means. I don't. Yeah. I actually saw pictures of a finished product in the bottle with the label and everything. So some of these are...
Their climate,
it's just local.
Yeah, their climate is tremendously different than ours. So
yeah,
their 10 years are 5-year equivalent. So I'm thinking it's like 10 to 14 in this blend. It's got to be. And for $60 for a spring bank, when you still get that peatiness and the complexity... You get the
spring bank thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm going to go for the price. And just because of spring bank. Man, I might have to go 88 here, man.
Yeah. You know?
Especially if you don't want to pay for the 15 or the 18. This is the closest you're going to get.
This is a situation where...
Actually, the blend...
The sum of its parts are greater than its parts.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like this whole... the balance of everything is perfect. They did an awesome job blending this. And it's only been open a week, so...
Oh, wow.
I got to come back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You think this was open a year, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, you did just say that you did buy it. I didn't know how long ago it was, but...
Mm-hmm.
Wow, phenomenal. Good job, Spring Bank.
Yeah, I'm gonna, if I see another bottle, I'm grabbing it. At that price, I need plenty of Spring Bank-esque blends.
In your life.
This is the first one.
Yeah, you might not see this again. Spring Bank. You might not see this again.
You know, they might have said, no, we don't do blends. We don't even mess around. We're Spring Bank.
Because what would happen... This could be like a little lunch type of thing, and they're trying to fill out to see, like, hey, can we do some blends to make it cheaper for people that don't want to buy the 15 and 18? And then if they don't get the success that they thought they were going to get, this might be a discontinued product in a year.
Could be. Yep. You know, somebody sees that and goes, $60 for... I can get a Johnny Walker Green for 50.
Especially when it's a non-age statement type of thing for Scotch. And when they see blended, they're going to be put off, I think.
I'm with you on 88. 88
yeah.
All day on this. This is.
I'm going to find this in
part. Knocked it out of the park.
I'm gonna buy myself a bottle of this as well.
I like that... Gunpowder, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know, asphalt type of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste like asphalt.
No.
Or gunpowder. The smell. And it really doesn't smell like that either. It's just reminiscent.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of to describe kind of something close to what I'm smelling.
And yeah, Spring Bank
perfectly
is
balanced with sweetness.
The best peated in the game. And I will say that Ardbeg is a split. It's like a second close to them.
There's also, I'm picking up on, there's another scotch called Glengarry. It's a very, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. Glengarry. It tastes like there's a little bit of that in here. Like that's kind of familiar to Glengarry. But as we know, there isn't. It's all Campbelltown.
Now, as far as peated scotches go, the only ones that I know that have like high age statements that you see on shelves sometime are Bowmore, Springbank. Bowmore has an 18.
Yeah,
which I have. And then the others, like Laphroaig and all this stuff. I know they have like a 25 and all this stuff, but I don't see that in stores, really.
You do rarely.
Yeah.
Like Amon's. He's got a 25.
But are you going to pay $5,000 for it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like $700 or something. I don't know.
Maybe one day me and Dylan could split. Just have the experience. Split one.
I am definitely never spending money on not knowing or not having tasted it.
Yeah.
I have to have tasted it or
try it at his.
I wonder if he has one in his bar. Guy who I trust.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, this is totally worth it.
Man, do you really think that a L'Euphoric 25 year would be bad, though? I just don't see that. Because I love all their products.
No, it wouldn't be bad.
And then same thing with Ardbeg. When you come with high, like the only age statement that I've ever seen is 10, but I know they have higher age statements.
Yeah.
And everything that I had from Ardbeg is up there. Like phenomenal. Even Wee Beastie, I love for the price. It's not their best.
No.
But for the price, it's good. But everything else
might
is...
Might as well go a few dollars more for the 10, though.
Yeah. The 10 is just... It's up there.
They nailed it, and they don't
change. And one of my favorites is Corey Vecchin.
Corey Vecchin, yeah.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah.
Man, that's good. Ugadel? I don't think I had yet.
I had a bottle of Corey Vecchin. That's what really got me into Ardbeg. I think I got that first, believe it or not. Not the 10. Well, okay, Springbank.
You're a treasure in our hearts.
Yes.
To this day. Wait to review
everybody
the 18.
Loves you for a reason.
I don't have a 15. I need to get a 15. But I have an 18, which I'm happy with. And I got to revisit that someday or another.
You know how some people go on nature walks to connect to the earth?
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yep. This connects you to the earth.
Yeah. The blends. Now, before we end this episode, is blended whiskey killing the age statement game? If you're a good blender? Anything about Nancy Fraley? Whoever blended this, I wish we need to look up this guy's name. Or her. Yeah. Dixon Deadman.
Yeah.
Like, they're like non-age statement products.
Yep.
Blended whiskey. And we review those pretty highly.
Yeah.
Like, still
fantastic.
Awesome. Nancy Fraley.
And Yamazaki 18 is a blend.
Blend.
And it's, yeah, I keep bringing it up. It's one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. And it's a blend.
Elijah Craig,
but it's an 8. It is age statement, though.
Yeah, but it's probably, if you have so much at that point, you gotta kind of have an age statement. I don't know how it is European, but 18 is probably the youngest in that blend.
Yeah.
So you gotta put that on the label, just like Elijah Craig, barrel proof, 12 year age statement, or like this last product, or the one that everyone went crazy over, the 13. But it could be some 18 year or something in there.
Sure.
So those blended products, man, are just killing it.
Yeah.
They are killing it. It's at the point that I don't even care how old the blend is. Like, but Bardstown blended stuff. Great.
We
just love blended whiskey, I think. Now, the thing that's going to be a killer here...
I think the reason, before you go on, my reason is because they go, what is it missing? What does it need? You know, we can add whatever we want to add to make it great. And a single malt or single barrel whiskey or whatever is hit or miss.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're excellent and you can't get any better, but a lot of times, not the greatest.
Yeah. And you could love that product, single barrel product, but all single barrels are different,
but
to your point.
But then the next bottle you buy is like, where'd it go?
Yeah. Except if you're, well, I haven't experienced it yet, but we had one good single barrel from Dixon Deadman that we loved. And then Dylan already saw the 70.
Barrel 69.
Yeah. And then you saw the 70 the other day. So. And you know what? I have faith in him. He is not going to produce a bad single barrel in that bottle. Trust me. If he's not happy with it, he would dump that single barrel out. He will not put that on the shelf. I know he wouldn't. But
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Now why, to my point,
why would he? I mean, is
this, oh yeah.
I mean, it's like
he is the man. He is the man. You know how I feel about him. One day I will meet him in person. But now talking about blends, like me and Dylan love the 15 and we love the 18. I don't know if I love the 18 as much as the 15, because I still have to get it down to the point of getting it aerated.
Yeah. Too soon to tell.
But I would not be surprised if this blend can hold up to one of them. I think it might have a chance.
Curious to see what happens.
I don't know if it's going to hold up to the 18. I don't know if it's going to hold up to the 15. It may not hold up to either, but from knowing Spring Bank and how they deliver, I will not be surprised if we did this blind or something. Hmm. We probably could pick this as a... Because right now, if you told me this was 15 year, I would not know the difference. Or 18.
It's got the Spring Bank. You know it's Spring Bank. Mm-hmm. Because it's the nose is definitely Spring Bank.
Mmm. Because it has, like I said...
And that
it,
blend.
It has to be 10 to 14 up in here. It's got to be.
Yeah, it...
And it could be older... blended
out the youthfulness. If there is any youthful, let's say, Spring Bank 8-year...
Yeah, at least. If there is in there... At least. They're not going to put...
They blended it out.
I can't see them putting anything 5 or 6 in here. I really don't. I just have a feeling, especially in the Scotch world, the youngest that you're going to see in this blend is 10.
So good. But I'm gonna have a tough time making this bottle last.
Well, for $60,
I can buy another.
That's easy.
Yeah.
$60 they is had the
like, and there wasn't just one on the shelf either. There was like a row of them.
So. You're gonna be the only one buying it. Me and you. Probably. $60. That's the new budget now. In the world that we live in, which is sad. I remember back in the day, it was like 30. 60 used to be like, eee.
I know.
100 used to be like, ugh.
Right.
Now, not so much.
Now it's like, got to drop 100 plus.
Sometimes 250.
Yeah.
Depending on what you want.
I keep seeing captions of YouTube videos talking about, is the bourbon bubble going to burst?
A lot of people think that it is. I don't foresee it. The only way that it would burst, I think the point that they're trying to make, that people are just going to be tired of paying for those prices. Which I get. I see that happening. But
the chase. The fact that you can't buy stuff that they're producing by the millions of gallons. It's like, why? Exactly. Why can't I buy this?
Like, yesterday.
You produced 20 million gallons of this. You know.
Yesterday, I bought my first 2 bottles since probably December, late December. It's like, yeah, I love this podcast. I'm going to keep on doing it. But I'm thinking to myself right now, I'm like, man, you know what? I should just review what I have and what me and Dylan has. And I just can't keep up with the Joneses anymore. Like, I can afford it, but at the same time, what's the point of dumping it out when I can't drink all of it?
Yeah.
And it's just a hassle trying to go to liquor store after liquor store, trying to get what's new.
Yeah.
I just got to let it all come to me when the time is right. And I haven't been in a liquor store.
Can you buy just one bottle a week? No. You never do.
You never always
see multiple bottles.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I got to get that.
I just can't do it anymore, man. This. It's daunting. It's very... it's stressful, too. Because you're trying to keep up with everybody on social media when you look at... Like, oh, man, this came out? The Old Forester 1924? I got to get it.
All of a sudden, you're anxious and...
Yeah.
Like,
it's like...
Oh, I got to get there. I got to get there.
I can't do it anymore.
You're in a good place to say that.
Oh, yeah. I'm in a good place. So I am. We have reviewed so many allocated stuff that we should not review allocated stuff anymore. I mean, if it comes to me, we will review it. I still have some allocated stuff that we have not reviewed on this podcast that probably came out last year or the year before. It's just like, man, I don't know, man. Trying to keep up with the Joneses in the whiskey world is... And I think that's what you're probably relating to about the bubble thing. People are going to get tired of... Because everyone has a fear of missing out.
Yeah.
But after a while, you're going to be having the fear of being broke.
I tell you, it's not going to at all happen in the Scotch world.
No, that no, is no. locked no.
down.
Like, that's all the allocated solid. Stuff that you could get in Scotch, you can see in stores. But it's going to stay there because the allocated, which is not secondary, like we were talking about Lafroy 25 year, you can walk in the liquor store and see it. And it could be $700 to your point.
Right.
But no one here, especially in the States, unless you're a diehard Scotch person, is going to buy that. Now, that guy that we're talking about, if he came here to Milwaukee and saw Lafroy 25 year for $700, he'd probably buy it. Be like, man, I paid $1,500 for this.
Yeah.
I'm buying this. Me, on the other hand, no. I would say that as far as me and Dylan can get, if we hear good ratings about the 25, we could split it. I could see ourselves doing that.
Yeah. I have to know one thing. It's got to be worth it.
Yeah, it's got to be worth it. Now, we agreed on that.
I've tasted expensive whiskeys in the past, and like, I'm glad I just paid for a taste because I don't want to buy this bottle.
We did agree on that with Yamazaki 18.
If we saw it for a real price instead of just stupid money.
What was it, 800?
1200. I saw 1200 somewhere online.
What was that liquor store off of Miller Parkway? I think they had it for $8. Some right. It was something absurd.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if it's like for $350 or maybe $4.
Done. I'd spend the money.
And we made the guy climb up the ladder because he didn't know the price. And he's like, $800. We're like, nah. If he would have said $400, I was like, all right, $200 here, $200 there.
Yeah.
But if you see Springbank, Campbelltown Lock.
Wow.
For $60. Buy that other than the 15 and 18. Even though the 15 and 18 is good, but buy that.
Yeah. It's like, it really is a great name for this whiskey.
It's a lock.
Because it is. Literally. It's Campbelltown. You know, it's 100% Campbelltown, and you really get a sense of what Campbelltown is all about.
Mm-hmm. And who knows? One day we'll probably find out if this is up there with the 15 and 18. We don't know. Could be. They could be now, tricking us.
This may be a situation where this is as good as it's going to get.
Could
and,
be.
And sitting in the bottle.
I like it where year,
it's at. It doesn't change a thing. Most likely, though, it's going to change for the better.
Yeah.
And it's already great. Okay.
Well, that's
that
it.
That was a fantastic episode.
Yeah,
two
I love
great
that.
Whiskeys.
Mm-hmm. And affordable. 45 and a 60.
Try it, yeah. Affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonable.
Yeah,
worth
reasonable.
It. Totally worth it. Yeah. All of this is just locked in. Rock solid. Totally worth it. Okay.
All right, that's our episode. See we'll see you guys next week. Weeks. Well, couple weeks, not next week.
Right, couple.